at Carmel Kids, there is a corner over here that they can join in if they need to. That's fine. So because it's going to be a short service, I bought a 5-pager today. Normally it's 1.5. So I can see already that I'm going to be under a bit of... Oh, it's 6 pages. Sorry about that. I'm going to be under a bit of constraint to finish it in one go. So I'm going to kind of split it into two. So I'm sure that you'll all remember when we meet in a few weeks what I've spoke about this morning, without a doubt. I think as we've been worshipping this morning, we've sang some really powerful words. I think every time we worship, we have to be mindful of the words that we're singing because they carry quite a weight to them. And this morning, there's just a couple of lines I want to draw out from our worship service that we've sort of got to this point. To my heart, I preach your sovereignty. Did you know you're a preacher? Well, you are. You're a preacher. And you've got to learn how to preach to your heart, because we go through stuff in life, don't we, where we've sometimes got nothing else to hold on to, and so we've got to go to God. I'm going to preach your sovereignty. I'm going to preach your beautiful name. I'm going to preach everything that you are to my heart, because I've got nothing else here. That's all I've got. But you know what? That's enough. And so we've got to learn how to preach to our hearts. We've got to learn to identify those moments in life where we need to draw on who God is and preach it to our hearts and put it into practice. You know, there is very often a discord, a separation between what we think we believe and what we believe. And that's why preaching to ourselves is so important, because it turns our theology into a reality in our hearts. And so we've got to constantly be preaching to our hearts. Your sovereignty, oh God, your awesomeness, your power, your bigness, I preach to myself. And you know what? When you begin to do that, your circumstances might not change, but you do. You change because God brings something to your heart that enables you to get through difficult circumstances. So preach to yourself, preach to your heart. And that wonderful song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, has got some really powerful, powerful words in it. It demands my soul, my life, my all. Wow. You know, when we begin this journey, sometimes we don't understand the responsibility we have. And the demands that God places on our hearts. He doesn't put rules in place. He puts his love in our hearts. And as we love God more and more, it places a demand on my soul, a responsibility on my life and everything that I do. You know, when we're preaching the sovereignty of God to our hearts, it begins to work out in our lives, and we understand the commitment that we're making. It's a life commitment for my soul, my life, and my all. We so easily say we give it all to you, Jesus. And sometimes we do, but we take it back again. We do. We take it back because we don't think he can handle it, but he's God. So preach to yourself. Continue preaching to yourself. When you're feeling at your wit's end, when you're feeling you don't know what to do, when you're feeling that he's all coming to an end, preach God to your heart and let him work in you. We've got to give him a chance to work in us. I want to speak this morning about, I've entitled it Living with Broken Dreams. And I'm sure that we've all got dreams or had dreams. I dreamed of playing for Manchester United, but as you can see, I didn't quite make it. We can all have dreams that motivate us in life. You know, dreams are good things to have, those things that we imagine or think. And some people, when they're children, they know what they want to do. They know what they want to get involved in. They know what their aim is in life, and it motivates them to keep going and keep going through difficult times. That's what I want to do. I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to let it undermine what I'm dreaming. It's normal and it's healthy. And I want to talk sometimes about our dreams in God and how we work those out. But if you ever meet anybody in life who's got no dreams, got no plans for tomorrow, got no plans for the future, they sometimes are very unstable. They lack motivation for life and for the future. And so it's good for us to have dreams, and that is in a spiritual sense again. If you have no spiritual dreams, if you've got no spiritual aspirations, if you're not allowing God to drop new things into your heart, then your Christian walk can become pointless and nothingness because we've got nothing to aim for. I want to tell you this morning that God has got plans for you. He's got dreams that he wants to place in your heart that are going to take you to places that you would never have thought. And that's the awesomeness of the God that we are worshipping this morning. We know God has plans for us to prosper us and not to harm us. We know God is good and has given us everything we need for life and godliness. These scriptures, they always excite me when I know that God has got something more for me. We are created to do good things. And as Christians, God adds a supernatural dimension to our lives. So we're not just thinking about our personal dreams, about what we want to do, whether that's jobs, careers, education, family, community, wherever we feel we are called to in life. God kind of supersedes that. He gives us supernatural dreams that are to serve him, and that brings us to completeness as we begin to work for God, as we begin to aspire and work with him for the dreams that he's placed in our hearts. Our lives suddenly change. We begin to come completed in him. We are satisfied with life and with God working in us. But we've got to choose to be obedient to his call. What we dream and what happens can be completely different. They are in the natural, aren't they? We can dream for things in the natural. We can have our aims and objectives in life. But the reality is that very often we don't meet or reach those dreams. And spiritually, we can be the same. I remember when I first committed my life fully to God. I think I made a couple of decisions along the journey. And I made a decision to be a follower of Christ. And then I had to make another decision about, am I really going to do this or not? Is this what I'm going to invest my life into? And I wanted to change the world. I don't know how I was going to do that. I don't know how that was going to happen. I'm not sure how God was going to use me. But my heart was to just serve God in whatever place. Just quiet them down, please. Can we quiet the children down? Thank you. So God has placed dreams in our heart that supersede our own dreams. But it can all go pear-shaped. And how do we face our Christian life when these things seem to happen? How do we respond when our dream is threatened? And what is our pattern of behaviour when that comes under threat? We can have great aspirations in God and great dreams in God, great hopes in God, but sometimes those are threatened and our behaviour can determine the outcome of that. When your life dreams seem out of control and unobtainable, do you try to control it or do you hand it over to God who is in control? Decisions that we have to make. Our thinking is really important when we look at answering these questions. And the one thing we must really understand is that God does not think like us or behave like us. He sees our lives completely differently than we do. And so when we're working with God, he's always moving in a way that we would never have imagined or thought. And so we've got to give room in our lives for God to be God in our lives and to take us to places that sometimes we would never have imagined. He is God. We may want to do things for God, which is a good thing to do, but we've got to do the God things in our lives. We don't just do things that we want to do. This is why it's important to listen to what God is saying into our hearts, because he takes us in a direction that fulfills us. He knows us intimately. He knows what things you can do for him that are going to actually serve him in the right way, but also bring you some completeness in your salvation. When God looks at us, when God looks at me and you, he's always looking at the end game. He's always looking at what he is trying to create. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's trying to produce in you, and he knows the best way to do it. Just to illustrate that, I want to talk around David. King David had a dream given to him by God that he was going to become the leader of the Jewish nation of Israel. That was a good thing. But when he came into the presence of Saul, Saul was threatened by him, and his reaction under pressure was to run away. I'm going to read 1 Samuel 21, 1 to 3. David went to Nob to Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked him, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech, the priest, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place. Now then, what have you to hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find.'" David was under pressure. He knew that he'd been called to be king, and suddenly all those dreams were wiped away as Saul sought to kill him. God's intention for David had never changed. But he was in a circumstance where he couldn't see how that was going to come to pass. And so he did his own thing. He ran away and then he told lies to Ahimelech. That's a hard name to say, isn't it? I practiced that all week. He lied. Because Ahimelech knew that David shouldn't have been where he was. He knew about David, he was a mighty warrior, and it says he trembled when David turned up. He didn't know what was going on. And he was asking him questions. Why are you on your own? Why is there nobody with you? Where are you going? What are you called to do? And David lied. And sometimes when we're under pressure, we can lie. We can tell untruths. Sometimes to those around us, and sometimes we can lie to ourselves. Have you ever done that? Told yourself a lie to make yourself feel better or justify the things that you are doing? And it's so easy to do. And those of you with children will understand that. Why did he do that? It wasn't my fault, it was his fault. He made me do it. It was him. Or you made me angry, and therefore it's your fault that I did what I did. And so easily we can lie to ourselves because it makes us feel better. And that's what David was doing. He was lying, he was covering his tracks, he was trying to sort of dodge and weave around the circumstances. Instead of trusting in what God had said and allowing God to work it out, he ran away and then lied. Verse 7, 8 and 9 say this. Now one of Saul's servants was there, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd. So he knew Saul very well. He would have had a close relationship with him. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent." It's a lie, isn't it? The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, who you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." So he'd run away, he was telling lies, and he wasn't prepared. And he saw this man, Doeg the Edomite, and knew that he was a close consort with Saul, and felt that he may have to go into battle with this man. He took matters into his own hands. He used his own skill base and his own values to work out a situation that really God should have been working out. And it's so tempting, isn't it, when we come under pressure and we have to make a decision in a moment, we can give ourselves away. We can begin to take matters into our own hands, use our own values and our own skill base to work out a situation when we should be trusting in God. That's why we've got to preach to our hearts about his sovereignty. I don't know what's going on here, God, but I know that you are leading me to a place that I can't see, but I'm going to trust you in this. Later on in chapter 22, it says this, "Then David said to Abithar, son of Ahimelech, 'That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, I am responsible for the death of your whole family.'" So if you read between chapter 21 and chapter 22, Doeg's responsible for killing the priests, 85 men, then went back to the city, killed the city's priests, men, women, and children. He caused carnage. And David was realizing that that was his responsibility. It says there, "I am responsible for the death of your whole family." So sometimes when we do things our way, there is a consequence that isn't necessarily for us, but the fallout can be amongst those around us. When we assume that God thinks and acts like us, we can get into all kinds of trouble that move us away from our dreams. That means we've got to be constantly reminding ourselves of God's values, of his will and purpose for our lives. Don't assume that God plans it like you would plan it, because he doesn't. And that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to get our heads around, because if ever you do use a sat nav, and we always go, "I want to go the quickest way." Yeah, that's what I do. I want to get there the quickest. And sometimes in our serving God, we want to get there quick. We want to be there as quick as possible. And I have spoken before about the journey that we're on is almost as important as the destination, because in the journey we learn about our relationship with God. We learn how to trust God. We learn how to relate to those around us. We learn how to hold on to those dreams. We learn how to put God into our lives on the daily basis. We are preaching him to ourselves all the time. And in that journey, God grows us. In that journey, the fruit of the Spirit is growing in us. And so when we arrive at our destination, we are ready to serve God. If we go for the shortcut, very often we arrive unprepared, unskilled, unchanged, and really not ready for the job. So the journey, our Christian journey, our daily walk is really important, because it's teaching us all the time. It's rubbing those edges off us. It's teaching us how to be together, how to be in relationship with one another. It's teaching us how we can put our trust in God, that he is trustworthy, that he keeps his promises, that he operates in our lives, but in a different way sometimes than we would want him to. So keep preaching God to your hearts. God has placed something in you that is personal, that is only for you to work out. It's what God does. He's creating something in us of good works that we are going to do. And when we do God's works, we are satisfied. We are trusting him to do the work. We're not trusting ourselves. And we've got to learn how to do that journey with God. Don't look for the shortcuts. Go the way God intended. And you will be amazed at what God will do in your heart and in your life. I'm going to finish that there. And carry that on next time it's my turn to preach. Okay, thank you for listening. But please, please, please speak Jesus into your hearts. It's really, really important. If you want to serve God, if you want to reach your dreams in God, you've got to be connected to Him. You've always got to be reminding yourself of who He is and what He's promised in your life. Don't let those dreams go. Thank you.
Thank you.